Gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. It is written, now unto him that is able to guard you from stumbling, and to set you before the presence of his glory without blemish and exceeding joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power before all time, and now, and for evermore. Amen. Beloved, while I was giving all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in privily, even they who were of old written of beforehand, unto whom this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Lead on, O King Eternal, the day of march has come. Henceforth in fields of conquest, thy tent shall be our home. Through days of preparation, thy grace has made us strong. And now, O King Eternal, we lift our battle song. Lead on, O King Eternal, till sin's fierce war shall cease, and holiness shall whisper the sweet amen of peace. For not with swords loud clashing, nor roll of stirring drums, with deeds of love and mercy thy heavenly kingdom comes. Lead on, O King Eternal. We follow not with fears, for gladness breaks like morning, where'er thy face appears. Thy cross is lifted o'er us, we journey in its light. The crown awaits the conquest. Lead on, O God of might.
For God is just.
listen to this message from the book of Jude entitled, Contend Earnestly for the Faith. The book of Jude is composed of only one chapter, but it contains some of the most scathing denunciation of false doctrine and false teachers found in the Word of God. However, the amazing thing about this book of one chapter is the fact that it was written by a very humble minister of Christ. His humility is apparent in his introduction of himself. He calls himself a servant or slave of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. Now, Jesus had four half-brothers, according to Matthew and Mark. And according to John, they did not believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Paul tells us that after the resurrection, the Lord made a special appearance to James, and James became a prominent leader in the church at Jerusalem. He is mentioned several times in that capacity. Evidently, Jude became a believer also and was humble enough to call himself a slave of Jesus, his older half-brother, in whom he did not at the first believe to be the Son of God. Not only that, but he shows no jealousy in being identified as a brother of his famous brother James. He mentions James as though the people who read the epistle at that time would be aware of the identity of James. Everybody knows who James is. Nobody knows Jude. And Jude was content to be who he was, as the lesser, known brother and slave of Jesus Christ. What an example for the rest of us preachers today. Let us rejoice that God, in his grace, has given us some small part to do with gratitude in the servants of Jesus. So Jude styles himself merely as a slave of Jesus and brother of James. How demeaning for a man of the cloth, and such expensive cloth at that. He did not even call himself reverend. The term reverend as a title for preachers was not used until about 500 years ago. Then at first the title was rejected by most as being too pompous for a true servant of God. Actually, most of the great servants of God in the Scripture were content to wear the same title of Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ. Then Jude says, Mercy unto you and peace, and love be multiplied. When he speaks of mercy, I have to say, that is the only way I can approach God. I have no other claim on God's attention. I cannot say, Lord, look, I have served you for many years. I have preached thousands of sermons. I have given thousands of dollars. Surely you will hear my voice and answer my prayer? No, I have no such claim or expectation of being heard. My only approach to God in the matter of obtaining his attention is a cry for mercy. Jude not only said mercy, but he said mercy be multiplied. I need mercy, and I need it to be multiplied. He not only said, Mercy be unto you, but he also said, Peace be unto you. The message of Christ is the message of peace. He gives us the greatest peace there is, the same kind of peace old Simeon had in the temple when they brought the infant Jesus for circumcision. When Simeon realized who the baby was, he said, Now, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. The Christian can have the same peace today because he has come face to face with the Lord in his personal salvation. Whatever happens, nothing can take away that peace. Now, after he identifies himself, he has this to say, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He said, I gave all diligence. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the only way to serve the Lord, with diligence. Paul put it this way one time concerning himself. He said, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." We need more people who will magnify their office. Elders need to magnify their office. Deacons need to magnify their office. Preachers need to magnify their office at whatever level of service it may be. That position needs to be magnified. If every position were magnified, it would boggle the mind to see the progress of the kingdom of God on earth. He said, "Beloved, while I was giving all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to the saints." He says it was needful, or he was constrained to write to them about their common salvation. How many times have you ever felt the need and constraint to write to someone, or call them on the phone, or fax a message, or send them email concerning our common salvation? One man called me one time and said, "Come and see me, and when you do, we will talk about the Lord." Then after a pause, he said, "But what else is there to talk about?" That's a good question. What else is there to talk about? Maybe there are a lot of things we need to talk about, but nothing of any greater importance than our common salvation. We have a common salvation. It is not common in the sense of being ordinary. It is extraordinary salvation. However, there are many aspects as to why it is common. For one thing, it is the same for men as it is for women. A man wrote one time to say that the gospel that is preached on this broadcast is needed by all the sects in religion. I think he meant to say sects, S-E-C-T-S, but he wrote sex, S-E-X. Whichever way he meant it, he was right in both cases. People in all religious sects need to hear the gospel that is preached on this broadcast. In fact, the more sectarian they are, the more they need it. But it is also needed by all the sects in religion and out of religion. It is needed by every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every they, every them, every who, every he, every she, every it, everybody. He said, "I give diligence to write unto you concerning our common salvation." It is common also because we have a common Savior. Jesus can be and must be the Savior of all mankind. There is no other. Jesus said, "No one cometh unto the Father but by me." And Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Unless Jesus was grossly mistaken, and unless Peter was completely bumfoozled, bewildered, mystified, and freaked out by what the Holy Spirit told him, there is absolutely no other way for anybody in any generation, any place, or any time to go to heaven other than through Jesus Christ. "I write unto you concerning our common salvation." We have a common Savior, and we also have a common plan of salvation. Peter tells us about it. That plan, that common plan, the day the church began, on the day of Pentecost, when the people heard how Jesus had been crucified and raised up from the dead, when they realized they had done it themselves, they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said unto them, "Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I make no comment on that, but simply leave it as it is. Isn't that refreshing? Peter not only told them this, but then he told them it was not only for them, but for their children. And he told them that it was not only for their children, but for their descendants and to all that were afar off. And not only for those who were afar off, but for all, as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him. Truly we have a common salvation, because one plan fits all. I write unto you concerning our common salvation. Consider also that we have a common salvation, because we belong to a common church. There is only one church in the New Testament. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. There is no other church recognized by Jesus, by the New Testament writers. And ladies and gentlemen, I just want to be sure I am a member of that church, the church that the Scripture speaks of when it says the Lord added to the church day by day those that were saved. Is your denomination mentioned in the Bible? If it is, let me know where it is. I would like to join it. I want to belong to any church found in the Bible, whether it be one or a dozen. I would like to join every one of them, because I don't want to miss out on anything. On the day the church was born, the Lord added unto the church in that day those that were saved. Jude said it was a common salvation. Common also, because we have a common name. Doesn't it sound strange to read the New Testament and never find modern-day denominational names? Listen to these strange names from the New Testament. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Where did you ever read of Protestants or Catholics in the Bible? If there are Protestants and Catholics in the Bible, let me know what book, what chapter, what verse so states, and I want to join both groups. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to miss out on anything. But until then, why can't we be satisfied to call ourselves Christians or saints and nothing else? I write unto you concerning our common salvation. It is also a common salvation because we have a common message. This is the Bible and the Bible only. There is no other book written, communication of any kind, that has been given to us by the inspiration of God. John tells us on the last page of the Bible, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words and the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." These words on the last page of the Bible stand like a red flag, a big flashing sign that says, "Danger!" A warning to all who would write or believe or teach any other document as the inspired Word of God. I write unto you concerning our common salvation. Now, after speaking of our common salvation, Jude has something to say about contending for the faith. "I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, once delivered to the saints." He said contend. One important way to contend for the faith is in the Christian lifestyle. If we contend for the Lord's Supper and the Lord's Day, the greatest testimony for our conviction is a congregation whose members have a reputation of a 100% faithfulness every Sunday. No one will doubt the conviction of a church like that. That message is a crying need for the church today. Most folk in the church don't contend for anything. While there is more to being a Christian than mere attendance, it is a litmus test as to the contending efforts of the majority. Contend earnestly for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Man did not figure this faith out for himself. It was delivered. If a delegation of angels had come down to earth and sat in conference with Einstein and all the other leading minds on planet Earth, there would be no equation they could come up with that would equal out to salvation. Einstein would tell us that E equals MC2. They say that only a few people understand that equation. I know of a harder equation to understand than that. See if you can figure out this equation. Acts 2:38 equals remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you can figure that one out, you are a genius. I doubt that even Einstein ever figured that one out. I exhort you like Jude. Contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints. The faith was once delivered. It was not delivered to anyone but the saints. It was not delivered to the United States government. We have a Secretary of State, a Secretary of Defense, a Secretary of this, and a Secretary of that, but no Secretary of the Bible. It was delivered to the saints, to the church. It is the duty of the church to send the word out to a world that lives in the suburbs of hell. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy that the church is the pillar and ground of truth. The Bible has been deposited by God into the hands of the church. The church cannot change the message. The church cannot add to the message. The church, as the pillar and ground of truth, must support the truth and hold up the truth to a lost and dying world. The church must deliver the message even as it was delivered unto them. Paul said, I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The big problem today is why all churches have the same Bible. They are not delivering what they have received. They deliver something else. All churches have the same Bible. You can go into any church. Some church going in the middle of the week where no one is present. Open the pulpit Bible to Mark the 16th chapter, and it will say, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Go back on Sunday, and if someone responds to the invitation, he is informed that he is saved before he's baptized. If we are puzzled, the answer to the problem is that while they have received the same word as everybody else, they have not delivered what they have received. Paul said, I received it and I delivered it. I did not deliver something else. Go to other churches during the week when no one is present. Open the Bible in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts and read where it says they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And then they came up out of the water. Go back at that church on Sunday and someone responds to the invitation and water is applied to him some other way than by immersion and they call it baptism. Again, we say, we may be puzzled at the difference. And we may say, hey, your Bible says one thing and you do something else. The mystery is cleared up when we understand that they have received the same Bible as everybody else. They just don't deliver what they have received. Paul said, I delivered unto you that which I also received, and he did not deliver something else. Notice also that there has been only one delivery. It was delivered once unto the saints. There's only one delivery. The truth of God was not delivered twice, just once. The Bible is the only book where you will find the way to heaven. There is no other. John said after the resurrection, These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life in his name. There is just one delivery. So when someone tells you that they have another book besides the Bible that is inspired of God, you know you're talking to a false prophet. There is no other book. As God looks down the world today, there is no chance that he will ever send another gospel. We do things now that would have been miraculous to people a few years ago. God will never say, however, well, it looks like I'll have to invent a high-tech plan for this high-tech age. They need a high-tech church and a high-tech gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, our high-tech age has produced some high-tech sinners. who are headed for a high-tech hell. God will not give these high-tech smart elects a customized plan of salvation. There will be no designer church or a designer plan of salvation except the one designed in the New Testament. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to these words. Lord, through this desert, dark and wide, our erring footsteps need a guide. Keep us, O keep us, by thy side. Help us not fall, help us not fall. We have a fear that we should lose one whom eternal love could choose, so we would ne'er this grace abuse. Help us not fall, help us not fall. Lord, we are blind and halt and lame. Our only stronghold is thy name. Great is thy fear to bring it shame. Help us not fall, help us not fall. Lord, evermore thy face we seek. Tempted we are and poor and weak. Keep us with lowly hearts and meek. Help us not fall, help us not fall. All thy good works in us complete, and set us daily at thy feet. Thy love, thy work, thy name, how sweet. Help us not fall, help us not fall. Ladies and gentlemen, I say unto you with Jude, beloved, I have given all diligence today to preach to you concerning our common salvation, that you should contend earnestly for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.